So we're continuing on with this Frosty the Snowman advent, and we come to Karen, and Karen is a character. She's one of the kids who built Frosty, and she, along with Hocus the Rabbit, accompany Frosty on their journey to the North Pole, and we'll hear a little bit of that in a moment. She's the only one of the kids who's named in the special. And Karen first appears when her class is supposed to be entertained by Professor Hinkle. But after his act proves to be a flop, Karen and her classmates go outside to build a snowman. And once they do, Karen suggests they name him Frosty. It is then that, thanks to Hinkle's rabbit assistant Hocus, that they acquire Hinkle's magic hat, which brings Frosty to life. And after Hinkle takes his hat back and Hocus returns to the kids to reanimate Frosty, Frosty realizes he needs to find colder weather, as with the temperature rising, he's in danger of melting. And so the kids suggest the North Pole, and they escort Frosty as they march through town to this train station with Karen, explaining Frosty's situation to the traffic cop, who stops them along the way. So listen in as they come to the train station and what they decide to do.
We'd like a ticket to the North Pole, please.
Well, it's North Pole? Oh, yes, ma'am. Saskatchewan, Hudson Bay, Nome, Alaska, the Klondike and Aurora Borealis. Gotta make a change at Nanook of the North, though. That'll be $3,004, including tax.
Oh, but we don't have any money.
No money! No money, no tickets.
Now I'll never get to the North Pole.
Oh, Frosty, you just can't melt.
Oh, Karen, don't you get all slushy, too.
What is it, Hocus? Out the window? A refrigerated boxcar on a train headed north. You'll be safe there, Frosty. Come on.
Full of ice cream and frozen Christmas cakes.
What a neat way to travel.
Hurry up, Frosty. The train is pulling out.
Are you coming to the North Pole, too?
I'm sure my mother won't mind, as long as I'm home in time for supper.
And so we see this childlike faith here, but she gets in the train, and however, due to the cold temperature setting in the car to preserve the cargo, Karen starts to catch a cold despite all her winter clothing, and Frosty decides to leave the train to find somewhere for Karen to warm up, which works when the train pulls into a siding to allow a passenger train to pass, allowing them to unknowingly escape Hinkle again. But after Hocus rallies the forest animals to build Karen a fire, Hinkle ambushes Karen and puts out her campfire, forcing her and Frosty to belly slide down a hill to where they find a greenhouse growing Christmas poinsettias, where Frosty takes Karen inside so she can warm up, even though it might cost him to melt a little, which he is okay with. Unfortunately, Hinkle catches up and closes the door, trapping Frosty and Karen inside, gloating about how he will soon have his magic hat back. By the time Hocus brings Santa Claus to the greenhouse to help Frosty, they are too late. Frosty is melted, and Karen is heartbroken over her friend's demise. However, Santa consoles her and reveals to Karen that Frosty, being made from Christmas snow, just needs a cold December wind to be revived. Before Hocus can add the magic hat back on, Hinkle again demands his hat back as Hoka seeks Karen for protection as Santa confronts Hinkle and threatens to take him off the nice list for life if he laid so much as another finger on the hat's brim. However, Santa offers Hinkle a compromise. If he returns home and writes his apologies repeatedly several hundred times over, Santa would reconsider removing Hinkle from the nice list and still give him a gift on Christmas morning. Moved to repentance at Santa showing off mercy, Hinkle leaves to do just that, and Santa restores Frosty to life, much to Karen's joy. However, Santa has to take Frosty back to the North Pole with him, but first takes Karen back home, where Karen hated to part with Frosty, but was assured that Frosty would return next Christmas to lead Karen and her classmates in another parade. Karen waves goodbye as Frosty and Santa return to the North Pole and come next year. Karen parades proudly behind Frosty through the streets with her classmates until they reach Santa's sleigh, and Frosty takes his leave to return north. Karen and her classmates chase down the Santa sleigh until it gets airborne, then wave goodbye together as Frosty assures them that they will see him again on Christmas Day. Well, I think of another young girl in the Christmas story, the true story, that we see some powerful things with this childlike faith. Look at Luke chapter 1, beginning at verses 26 and 27. It says this: "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." So, according to Jewish custom, based upon the arrangement made between the parents, a couple could become engaged even as young children. Then a year before their marriage, they would become a spouse, which meant that although they would not consummate their relationship, they would be considered husband and wife in a legal binding so strong it required a divorce to break the relationship. We come to the first part of verse 28. It says this, it says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one.'" This Greek word favored is charito, which means highly blessed or much graced. It is used only one other time in the Bible, not concerning Mary, but concerning us in Ephesians 1:6. We are highly favored, not because of who we are, but because of where we are. And where are we? We're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that. But the second part of verse 28 says this. It says, "The Lord is with you." Now, most scholars believe Mary at this point was about 15 or 16 years old, the usual age of a spousal in that day. And what a wonderful young woman, what wonderful young girl she must have been, a woman selected of all the women of history to be the one to bear God's son. Later on in the chapter, we come to this Magnificat, which is this song, and it becomes obvious that she had a heart for God, an insight into the Word. And yet, when you think at that text, that reads that she's blessed among women, not above women. So there's no scriptural example to suggest that Mary be worshipped or prayed to, not a single word. She is indeed the most blessed among women, but she's only a woman. Verses 29 through 31 go on to say, "But she was greatly troubled the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" And so we see here, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. And he goes on in verses 32 and 33, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And so this government of the kingdom of God is upon the shoulder of Jesus Christ. We see that in Isaiah 9, verse 6. What government did he bear upon his shoulder? Well, the cross. The cross identified him uniquely as the king who would die for his subjects, a king who would become poor so that we might become rich, a king who would go to the nth degree that we might live in glory, a king who came preaching good news and great joy for all men. And so we see this young girl, Karen, who believes that life can come back to Frosty because he wears a hat. Even better, is the true story of a young girl who actually believed God and trusted him and was willing to be used for his glory and our good.